think erase the phrase age appropriate from your vocabulary, whether in fashion. This is coming from a woman who in her 50s is still wearing mini skirts and plunging necklines. No such thing as age appropriate, whether it's about sex or fashion. Care, mag-pick shorts pa rin ako.
Hi, and welcome to Middle Me, the podcast about Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. I'm your host, Anna P. Santos. My guest for this episode is Mirza Sison. You probably follow Mirza on IG or on various social media platforms, but I know Mirza as the editor-in-chief who launched Cosmo Philippines back in the 90s. Cosmo got a lot of Filipinas, me included, to come out of our shell. Now in her 50s, Mirza talks to us about still being fun, fearless, and living your best life. Hi, Mirza. Welcome to Middle Me.
No, Mirza, I just remembered. I first emailed you many, many years ago, a cold call email. The title pa was Gun for Hire. Can I write for Cosmo?
Oh my gosh. What year was that?
It was so long ago. And I was just like an aspiring writer wannabe.
And, oh my God.
And then, of course, hindi mo ako sinagot. Why would she even bother my email? Yeah, I was like, I was still in banking, still trying to just write. And
did I not reply when you became like the foremost writer about sex and sexuality?
Then I started doing all the other sex stuff. And then I started writing for Cosmo and even Marie Claire with you. So yeah. I was like, oh, thank you. Finally, I have like made some kind of contribution to the sex discussion.
More than a contribution, it's like what? A important body of work that helped shape the mindset of the Filipina about sex and sexuality. So thank you for always saying yes also when I would tap you to like interpret the latest Cosmo sex survey and among other articles.
On favorite Quran, I would be asked to watch the Cosmo Bachelor Bash.
Oh yeah.
Which
is ano pala, no longer politically correct because it objectifies men.
I know, but that's some of the, just one of the things that we're going to discuss, like the things that are now considered not politically correct or politically correct. It's also like how sexuality and expressions of it are changing. It's super exciting. But first, let's get to know you, Mirs. Okay. What's midlife been like for you?
Okay. My 40s are amazing. Life really began again for me. I felt invincible, even more fearless, ageless. In my mind, I was still 27. I was never in better physical and mental shape. I didn't look my age, or at least people said so. I was juggling 1,001 things at once, and I pulled it all off. So much energy. Wow. As I entered my 50s, I wasn't prepared for this phase as I probably should have in terms of managing what would change. I thought the youthfulness and the vigor would go on forever. When my hectic life kind of grounded to a halt during the pandemic, and you know, everyone had time for self-introspection or more time looking in the mirror.
Yeah, maybe, right?
Noticing those changes. And you know, everybody, as we know, everyone stopped wearing pants because only the tops mattered, right? And so we ate with wild abandon, right? Like we ate to soothe our, we ate our feelings, basically. So changes happened. It coincided with menopause for me. And I think it became clear to me that my body was catching up with my age. And many physical and mental changes started to happen. So it's taken, to be honest, it's taken a bit of an adjustment and unlearning of mindsets based on, you know, there's a lot of, it's a youth-oriented world, right? There's a lot of societal conditioning about what is sexually attractive or what is desirable or it's an ageist, sad to say, there's an ageist filter. And although things are changing, you know, we have the likes of Paulina Pariskova bearing her soul and every wrinkle and every emotion on social media. We have like women like her to thank. It's still, you know, quite youth oriented. And to be honest, coming from the worlds of modeling and fashion, which is very youth oriented.
And very looks oriented.
Looks oriented and youth oriented. And Philippine society is both, right? It's been a struggle, and I'm really constantly striving to accept, embrace, and revel in the pleasures of midlife and what makes it desirable and attractive, and, you know, embracing my age and enjoying being an older woman. So I like that my husband, who is younger than myself by 6 years, he loves my evolution. He loves that I'm aging, and we both wish that I would love it as much as he does. So that at least is something that's very helpful. So that's my honest answer.
And that's what we have these conversations for, because I really felt like, and you know, aging into midlife, I was like, how do I do this? And then, you know, I follow you on Instagram, and then there is a bunch of, I read these articles about women in their 40s and 50s you should follow on Instagram. But I need these conversations also to hear what it's like. Instagram is just one aspect of how you can look better and still kind of feel good about yourself. But I picked up so many things from what you just said about the conflict of, I don't feel like I'm old yet.
Right. I still don't, except when there's concrete evidence that I'm not, like brain fog, or, you know, when you're young, you have the ability to learn and absorb so many things and concepts. And now, you know, like the way we're trying to adapt and learn new tech, which changes week to week, diba? Parang, oh my gosh,
yeah,
ang daming kailangang pag-aralan, and you know, it's hard to keep up. So there, so as much as we are what biologically able to, we keep striving, right?
I have a question though, and what made you feel still really invincible and energetic in your 40s? A lot of people would say that that's the age when you start to reckon or come face to face with your age.
Right. I don't know. Maybe because my pace was still busy and hectic, and maybe I didn't have time to ponder, and I just like, you know, seized every day as effectively as I could, and maybe walang time magmuni-muni or mag self-pity. Also, that was like perimenopause, right? So the really shocking changes had not manifested themselves. So in my mind and in my body, feeling ko, oh, okay pa. And I was working out like what, 6 times a week.
Wow.
I lived in the gym. My physical fitness was so embedded in my schedule that I did it like brushing my teeth.
And that's why the pandemic, which brought everything to a halt and kind of disrupted everything.
It also coincided with my retirement from corporate life. So just before the pandemic, after 25 years of working in Summit Media as the editorial director, I decided to retire to pursue other passions. And so maybe the day-to-day hectic schedule was no longer, you know, and then we were all languishing, right? The whole world was languishing.
Yeah.
We were grappling with uncertainty. And so parang nagkasabay-sabay. So maybe it's all those factors put together.
Let's go back to the 90s. Bushy scrunchies were in our hair. We were plugged into our Walkmans. Our feet were in Birkenstocks. and Cosmopolitan, the magazine with pages oozing with advice about sex positions and orgasms, just launched the Philippine edition. Mirza Sison was Cosmo's editor-in-chief, charged with showing all of us how to be fun, fearless females. Mirza looks back at Filipina sexuality, then and now.
What was it like to head Cosmo? I mean, at that time, it was so, and it still is, yes, especially, if, I mean, I grew up on Cosmo, right? Reading Cosmo, and it was the Bible on how to be your best self. But when you brought that into the Philippines, when Summit brought that into the Philippines, it was what, the 1990s?
It was 1997.
It was still very, what, conservative and a little bit shy.
Yeah, when I look back, parang for me, 90s na yon, hindi siya middle ages. Bakit conservative pa rin, di ba? But then, I suppose my existence was on another plane. Like, wala pang internet nun, di ba? So we didn't really know. We couldn't really get a real feel for the zeitgeist of the times or the mindsets of people. But apparently so. Words like sex or vagina or penis, they were not really uttered matter-of-factly. Their sex was still taboo and spoken about in hushed tones. Diba?
Or flower pa rin yung tawag.
Yes. Or down there, diba? And so, and Pinays, were kind of still in their shell and they had not... they had not maybe discovered their own power, or they would pretend to be conservative, even if they were not. They would have this veneer of being conservative, diba? It was so normal to say, eh, kasi conservative yung parents ko eh, diba? Height hindi.
Oo. Lagi yun yung parang line nun, diba? Conservative yung parents ko. Strict yung parents ko.
Right. So this was 1 year before Sex in the City. Sex in the City premiered in 1998. So Sex and the City made a global shift in pop culture, right? So it made it cool to be sexually empowered. So 1997, the Madonna horror dichotomy was still very much prevalent, even among women. There were good girls and bad girls, right? Slut shaming was okay because they didn't want to be sluts. In terms of fashion even, I recall, if you took a look around the streets, everyone was really just wearing t-shirts and jeans.
And remember at the beach, people would even wear and shorts.
Right. I remember I was already a model then. I think it was 1995. And then I was in Boracay. And then my mother called me the next day after I had returned and said, nakita ka ng amiga ko. Naka two-piece ka daw. She was so enraged. Parang shocked. I'm like, Ma, magta 30 na ako. Ano ngayon?
Because remember, our mothers would think na, parang kala nakabrat panty niyan. Anong ginagawa mo?
Parang, ano kaya? Anong 60s kaya? Naka mini skirt si Lala, tsaka naka see-through. Diba? So, even in terms of fashion, parang sexy dressing was frowned upon, and they didn't really express themselves sexually, whether in fashion or in speech or in conversation. But now it's normalized, diba? There's such a term as hubadera fashion, and it's perceived to be stylish because the celebrities are like, you'll see headlines like, 10 stylish hubadera looks you can wear this Friday night. Diba? Normalized na siya. And yun. So even in the celebrity world, everybody pretended to be a virgin.
Oo. Hindi ba?
And only lately, parang nawalan ng stigma. I remember 2017 now when I think a reporter asked Nadine Lustre, are you living in with James Reed? And she's so mad. She's like, why are you asking me that? And if I am, come on guys, it's 2017. Parang wow, that's like a whole 20 years after Cosmo was launched.
Wow.
And at the time, Nadine, I think, was 25 years old. And then I noticed during the lockdown in 2020, di ba? All the celeb couples na booking na living together because they're all posting and everyone's locked down, right? So parang all these couples were posting na, ha, then mga headline was, booking, mga nagli-live in. Come on, it's 2020. So a lot of it has been going on, but you know, I think the pretending is stopping because Gen Z is just so honest and authentic and bold and brave. And I applaud them for being so.
And they don't care. Parang, I don't give a fuck. Sira yung generation na I don't give a fuck.
Right.
That's great. I know, right? And then sabi ko, how could they be? I wish I were that unaffected at that age.
Right. Right. In fact, I have expressed disappointment in some of the moms of millennials and Gen Z because they are from my generation and they were the ones who read Cosmo. And sometimes when I get questions or I get DM'd by Gen Zs and millennials saying they're being pressured by their mother to marry at a certain age, I'm like, did they not learn anything? How come they're not enlightened? Why are they subjecting you to the societal pressures that they themselves were subjected to? Parang di ba sila na enlightened? So yeah, minsan nakaka-disappoint. Right. But hats off to them for IDGAF.
Correct. Pero nung time na yon, like the Cosmo girl in the 90s and the late 2000s, you'd always take a Cosmo sex survey, diba?
Yes. Every single year.
Ano yung mga top 5 questions of Filipino at the time? And what can we parang learn from how they thought of sex and sexuality and even pleasure? Parang from what you're telling me, pleasure is even on a different aspect. It's right. Enough that you're saying that you're having sex, but to admit that you like it?
Yeah. Horror. So up until I left Cosmo in 2017, because in 2017, I had to let go of being EIC of Cosmo, and then I had to head all the digital titles. I think for 20 years, it was the same. Virginity, orgasms, contraception, pregnancy myths or contraception myths, STDs. And this is not sex per se, but cheating. Forever and ever, cheating, infidelity.
What about infidelity?
Cheating man.
What to do about him?
Yeah, how to deal with that. There was a year, I think it was 2015, where there were 5 mistress movies in a row, starting with the Ann Curtis movie. And then parang in 1 year, puro tungkol sa cheating yung mga top movies of that year. Grabe.
Interesting. But do you think that has changed in the sense that, you know, women are also like, hey, I can do that too.
Right. I hope the portrayal will change because as women, know their own power and set their boundaries and not, you know, just blindly accept infidelity, it will cause a sociological shift, I hope, and maybe media portrayal will also change or movie portrayals.
I think media portrayal is also so negative on the mistress. It's
right.
Hey, the guy can choose whether or not to stay.
Right.
You know?
Right. The true home wrecker is the husband, not the mistress, because he chose to wreck his home.
And I don't understand. Well, I hope that's another conversation that we move into, right?
Right.
Okay, we need to hold the cheating man accountable.
Of course, right? The vagina didn't just land on his penis while his hands were handcuffed behind him.
Although he likes to pretend. That doesn't work out.
So in the last 20 years, from 1997 to 2017, those were the top questions. Of course, by now, I'm sure there are a lot of questions about sexual experimentation, threesome, sex toys, but I don't think those are the most pressing. I think basically the most pressing are still the same.
People don't talk about sex, they just have it. But you also headed like Cosmo and then Marie Claire, which was also supposed to be for the more mature Filipino woman,
right?
Was it still the same? I mean, the Cosmo girl was supposed to be like 20-something.
Herself.
The Marie Claire woman was supposed to be in her 30s and had established herself and was more assertive. But was there a difference in the Filipina psyche between the 30s and the 40s at the time?
Right. So Marie Claire was a very niche market, and the fact that it only lasted 5 years could indicate that it was ahead of its time, because if Cosmo was about looking inward and being the best you can be and developing yourself to be the best you can be in every aspect of your life, Marie Claire was looking outward, like looking beyond your doorstep at the bigger picture, at the world, and seeing how you can help change the world with your actions. So that it folded in 2009, mm-hmm. which is what, 12, 13 years ago.
Wow.
I love it. Only now do we see this kind of Marie Claire mindset happening, right? With the woke Gen Z on a more mainstream level. Like back then we were talking about the environment or how you can do your part. We did campaigns on domestic violence and so many things. You were part of a story, I think, about quashing norms or going against stereotypes. So yeah, and it was ahead of its time.
I loved Marie Claire.
Very mainstream.
So much. Because, I mean, I loved writing for Marie Claire so much because it was like, there was a lot of going deeper into issues like intimate partner violence, even rape culture and what it was like, really ahead of its time. And I think that now we're beginning to see an acceptance even of those conversations. I remember parang people would dismiss them, yung mga slut shaming na yan. Bakit ka nagsuot ng ganyan anyway?
Right.
Then Me Too came along.
Right.
How has that changed the conversation about sex and sexuality in the Philippines? Lalo na sa atin. I mean, it's still so, boys will be boys.
Yes, exactly. Well, definitely concepts and words like sexual consent are now in everyone's consciousness, right? And hopefully the majority of people now know the difference between flirtation and seduction and sexual harassment and sexual misconduct. There are very brave women like Filipina-Italian model Amber Gutierrez, who brought down Harvey Weinstein.
Yes, I saw your interview with her.
Speaking up, even lately, Bianca Valerio has come forward talking about being a victim of sexual assault. So their bravery hopefully paves the way for others to speak up against it and, you know, dissuade harassers and assaulters from, and making them think twice about even attempting, right?
Coming up next, Mirza is in the hot seat, answering questions about sex drive, orgasms, and self-confidence. Do they get better with age? Mirza gives us the lowdown.
But also, this is a podcast about stories of sex and pleasure. Let's go back in there, rapid fire question time. Let's talk about these issues. And Mirza Sison, tell us, do they get better with age? Number one, orgasm gap.
Well, orgasm gap, it gets better because you know how to get it better as you age. Sexual maturity comes from knowing what you want sexually and communicating it with your partner. If there is a gap, two sexually mature individuals will make sure to address it. So there, it's not the gap per se, but knowing that it exists and in the words of Margie Holmes, there are no frigid women, only clumsy men, diba? Mm-hmm. So the older you get, I guess the braver you are to, if your partner is challenged in that way, you know, guide him or instruct him or teach him how to pleasure you, instead of maybe when you're younger, you might be more possibly meek about voicing out your desires. But when you're older, you're more emboldened.
I always tell my women friends, get him excited about watching you pleasure yourself.
Yeah.
Make it an instructional video that he can later join in on. Okay, periods and menopause.
Oh, well, I was on the pill from age 18 to 50. So I was spared from bad experiences with periods. Like, people would talk about pain and PMS. And I think the pill pretty much spared me from those experiences. And now that I'm postmenopausal, what a relief to not have a period, right? Of course, menopause. Huh?
Really? That's how you feel? Like, you don't miss having a period anymore?
What is there to miss? Please enlighten me if I am ignorant about
that. I don't know. But on one hand, I feel like, okay, the hassle. Yeah. You know,
right.
of the period, and then things, it gets in the way of wearing a bikini or sex,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
But again, I feel like, am I going to feel like, this is it. I'm really at a certain age na. Pag hindi ko alam.
Baka ano lang siya, societal conditioning. Baka. You mean if you lose your period, it means you're old?
Oo. Yun ang afraid ako. In the okay. same no, in the same way that remember, well, at least for me, when I got my period, all of a sudden I was a woman.
Okay.
That's how my family kind of treated it. Right. Gave me all these conversations about, okay, now you're childbearing woman.
All right. Oh my gosh. I remember my niece got her period at age 9. And then I mistakenly said, you're a woman now, you can have children. And then she burst out into tears. She's like, I'm just a child. Parang ay, oo nga pala. Hindi ko dapat sinabi yun.
Pero, di ba, ito yung mga social, cultural scripts just kind of ingrained in you?
And then, I guess it wasn't ingrained. It wasn't ingrained in me. I never gave it that kind of meaning. So maybe my experience is that, oh, thank goodness, no more hassle, rather than, because apart from bearing children, which I had never, was never my goal, there was no, it wasn't a marker of anything, okay. except yeah, maybe had I known about the annoying changes of menopause. Like, I didn't see the correlation to my period.
Okay.
So I don't know, maybe it deserves delving into, like, how much of it is societal conditioning and how much of it is really biology.
True. And the biology part would be like your physiological manifestation, right? Did you go through mood swings? And
In my opinion, no. But in my husband's opinion, yes. Hot flashes, no. But night sweats, I still get.
Okay. I love that we have an external viewer in your husband about moon swings. About a very objective response. Okay.
Right.
Libido, does it get better with age?
In the physical sense, it definitely wanes due to hormonal changes. So it's challenging. It's no longer physically automatic compared to our youth. So lubrication, less arousal, it can't be as spontaneous. We have to anticipate that our body will evolve and we have to respond to it with
lubrication.
Well, yes, there are products. Respond to the changes with what creativity, proactivity, instead of negativity. In the words of my idol Esther Perel, I'm sure idol din siya. She said, sexual desire is a drive that needs ongoing engagement. It needs to be stoked intensely and imaginatively throughout the years. So I love that. And that has helped me navigate through these years. And, you know, we have to maintain a relationship of exploration with our body.
I'll add another thing that Auntie Esther said.
Auntie Esther.
The most powerful thing that you could bring to the bedroom is your creativity and your enthusiasm.
Yes. Yes. A for effort, hindi na arousal.
Correct. Okay. Self-confidence. Does it get better with age?
Yes, but it changes. The more you know yourself, the more confident you get. But as life goes on and gives you more and more challenges, we ourselves change as well. So when we grow older, we learn that self-confidence is not about attaining perfection. Yes, we strive for excellence. We try to be the best we can in every aspect of our life. But it becomes more of our ability to see that we're not perfect, and imperfection can be sexy. Our flaws are part of our total being and our allure. And it, confidence becomes more of an ability to handle what comes our way rather than knowing everything or being good in everything. We know that whatever is thrown our way, we'll be able to handle it. And I think the pandemic taught this to us in a very meaningful and important way.
Pero ang ganda nung sinabi mo na parang we chase perfection.
Right.
And for a while, girls are also taught that, right? Perfection.
Right.
And I like that as you age, you give yourself a little bit of latitude to say that, you know, it's not perfection that's the goal, but just even being able to get up and face whatever life throws at you.
Right, right, right.
Love that. Okay, body image. Does it get better with age? Ang hirap no na. I mean,
hirap yan. For me, mahirap yan. Struggle for me. I have to admit that it's been a struggle, especially as I mentioned that when the youthful ideal wanes, or like the manifestation of the youthful ideal wanes, and having come from an industry where the aesthetic was model thin, and this is seared into my brain, mm-hmm. right? It's hard to let go of that ideal. But I'm trying to learn and instead focus on my totality as a being, whether human being, sexual being, and really believe that I'm the sum of my parts and my brain and not just my parts. But in theory,
There's more conversation about body love for all different body types.
Yes, yes. Right, right, right. It's very inclusive now, and it really prevails in media now. You can't have a media campaign with a group of women na walang representation lahat. Dapat may body positive type, may dark skinned, may curly haired, hindi na pwedeng ano, one ideal na lang. So I'm glad how this has changed.
And last but not least, sex and pleasure. Does it get better with age?
It gets better in the way that the more you know about sex and what gives your body pleasure, the better you become at it. So it's not in the biological sense about like a machine working better or not working better, but maybe when the brain gets better about it, you know what to do physically. Diba? Like if women never, for those women who never read the sex sections of Cosmo about positions or orgasms, diba? I think you're going to be at a disadvantage about sex if you didn't know what you could do to enhance your pleasure or to reach your maximum potentials in terms of sex, right? Mm. If you just went at it blindly without information. And the older you get, talagang the more you know.
One girlfriend of mine shared that she found herself to be more assertive about what she wants and yeah. even saying no or demanding certain okay. things. And I loved her comparison. She shared this in one of the listener stories. The guy didn't finish the job, no? So he was done, and she was still right. like, okay, I haven't orgasmed yet. And so she was like, fine. She started playing with herself, and the guy said to her, stop that.
Mental. Ano ba? Anong year ito?
This is a few months ago.
Oh my gosh. Oh. I thought you were going to say in the 90s.
Ito. And then she said, ang ganda ng realization. So niya, no, you can watch if you want. But I'm still going to do this. And then she said, uh-huh. younger self daw would have said, ay, naku, sorry ha.
Oh my gosh.
Oo, pero na-feel niya na, no, I own my pleasure and I'm going to achieve it. Yes, I'm going to go after it.
Right. Go, girl.
Yeah, sexual empowerment, Mirza, has a lot to do with empowering yourself as a whole.
Definitely. And I think sex is one aspect of your life. And if we do encourage you to be your best in every aspect, sex should not be ignored. I don't know if you've encountered Amy Jo Goddard, author of Women on Fire. She said, the more whole we are as sexual beings, the more fulfilled we are as human beings. And come to think of it, if you're not whole as a sexual being, it means it's an aspect you neglect or have not taken care to maximize or optimize. Then parang kulang yung fulfillment mo in a holistic sense. So I think it's an indication if you fight for sexual fulfillment. Fight sounds so militant.
Champion.
I think of it as self-care. Think yeah. of sexual fulfillment as self-care. If you're not okay in that respect or you're turning a blind eye or neglecting it, why? If you love yourself enough, you'll take care to address it and be as happy as you can be in that aspect of your life.
And I think it, just in case we have listeners who are asexual, that to be
definitely
sexual by not having it, that's the way you want to honor right. your sexuality. We're all for that too.
It's always a choice.
Always a choice, whatever that choice is. Right. Okay. What? Punta naman tayo sa sex and pleasure. You know, you. What would you want to pass on to women about sex and pleasure, now that we're the Cosmo girls who have reached mid-age, middle life, right?
right. If you haven't yet, know your body, know your anatomy, know what gives you pleasure, know what you like. Master masturbation.
Master masturbation.
Because it's the key. If you don't masturbate, you don't know how to orgasm. And you do have to learn how to do it. You do have to learn what parts to pleasure or what configuration will give you an orgasm. And that takes practice. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's the key, because if you don't learn how to, even if you have a partner, unless you know, the partner is very skilled, you might think something's wrong with you, but no, you have to know your clitoris, educate your partner about the workings of your clitoris. Mm-hmm. Practice makes perfect. Love sexual pleasure so much that you want to teach your partner to also give it to you, right? Get your partner to see that giving you pleasure is pleasurable for him as well, as you said. Diba? Mm. And learning how to orgasm, it is a selfish act. Again, to quote Auntie Esther.
Oh, goddess.
To orgasm means to retreat inside of your body, inside your own pleasure, inside your own sensation, to experience excitement and pleasure. In order to come, you must stop thinking about someone else. You have to be inside of yourself. There. She put it in, she articulated it so well in a way that I couldn't, so I just said to quote her.
You research ko, but I love it. You research talaga.
Iko kasi ma-articulate yung ano, what's the best way to depict it, diba? When you're on the verge of orgasm, you think of no one but yourself. And if you don't learn this early on, mahirap, diba?
And I think even it's possible. Okay. It's okay to
it's okay.
Think of yourself, just yourself, and what feels good for you.
Right.
It's a gift to give yourself every once in a while, with or without a partner. Yeah.
And maybe at the very, very least, know basically that female sexuality is an important part of health and well-being of a human being.
At any age.
At any age. It's not dirty or shameful or sinful. It's biology. Like eating or drinking or digesting.
The conversations I would have with women and even you know with myself, they would say, eh, parang ha, sex pa, eh, matanda na tayo.
Oh my god.
Kailan pa ba pag-usapan niya? And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I want to change. That's the mindset that I want to change. It's almost like I said, yeah, okay, first I was too young to have sex. Now I'm supposed to be too old to have it. When can I just please have sex and enjoy it?
I think erase the phrase age appropriate from your vocabulary, whether in fashion. This is coming from a woman who in her 50s is still wearing mini skirts and plunging necklines. No such thing as age appropriate, whether it's about sex or fashion.
Okay. I love that.
Care. Mag-pick shorts pa rin ako.
That was part one of our interview with Mirza Sizon, the woman behind magazines like Cosmo and Marie Claire. These were the magazine titles that were our blueprints for bringing out our best selves in life, in love, at work, and most especially when it came to our sexuality. I know. As strong, independent women, we've always got our big girl panties on. But as Mirza, who's now in her 50s, says, middle age isn't a time to hang up your pec-pec shorts. Midlife is fun. You just have to be fearless when it comes to facing the changes and challenges it brings. I'm Anna P. Santos. Thanks for listening to Middle Me, stories of Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. And thanks for thinking of Middle Me as your safe space. You know, Middle Me is like your friend you can talk to and ask your most jahe questions without ever feeling jahe. You can find Middle Me wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Help keep us going by subscribing to Middle Me or downloading a few episodes. Drop us a 5-star review because why the hell not? Till next time, thanks for listening.